No, during the thing.
Oh, okay.
Great. Are you ready to have a party? Since you're saying hello?
My part's about $1,100.
Money's money. Big or small.
That's right. No, I just, they knew about it because I was over here this morning.
Okay.
Somebody in the assessor's office has done a
month. Does anybody have the agenda?
I'm glad he did. Actually, got everything worked out on that side of closing instead of the other side. All's well that ends well. First closing since January. Got one or I've got in real estate, as real estate goes, I've made more than I spent. You've just got to watch what you spend. Be very cautious. It's like cattle.
It's going to insert in many minutes.
Is it?
You can make money in cattle if you just watch your expenses.
It's kind of like anything.
I have two board members on the way.
Mr. Justice, unless he's one of them, he's on his way.
He is. He's on his way. Well, board, you guys want to get started? We do have a quorum. We good? It's past 3:30 too. Yeah, that's right. I appreciate everyone being here today. Let's see. Who is taking minutes today? I need some help.
We can actually just loan you the minutes we have if you want.
Okay.
Since Chuck and I are here, we have our meetings minutes person. So.
Oh, okay, great. Appreciate that.
What a bonus.
That's all that guy does.
What?
Do I take them differently than a commission
no,
meeting?
No, same. Okay. They'll be fine. Plus, we got an audio, so you always have the audio.
We're in session, guys. Okay. I move that we adopt the agenda unless there's any changes to the agenda.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Okay. I was hoping to have the minutes in place at this point from the prior meeting. We would have, and we can insert these later, and certainly I want the board to review the upcoming minutes. We have two sets of minutes. We have minutes from the prior regular board meeting session, and then we have minutes from the special board meeting that was for the express purpose of reviewing the recovery zone bond deals and then adopting the inducement resolutions. And so I think it's important that the board does review the inducement resolutions per each deal closely. And we did have a very frank and good discussion and very positive discussion in that special board meeting at the beginning of October. But I would certainly ask that each board member look at them closely. An inducement resolution has been adopted for each recovery zone bond deal that we had put forward, of which there are four. And certainly the inducement resolution does not mean that the board has to carry forward any further if there's some issue with any of these bond deals that the board doesn't want to move forward. But the inducements resolutions certainly lay the proper groundwork for that. And so I personally liked all the deals that we looked at. The board did discuss them at length, each deal. And then the board adopted, the board elected to adopt each inducement resolution. So I think we need to review the minutes for that. Today we have on the agenda, first, we have Commissioners Pennell and Strafus, and that's at both gentlemen's request, if I'm not mistaken. Chuck, would you like to speak to the board?
Mr. Chairman, I did mention it in the request, but I'd like to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I have executive session as the last budget agenda item. Last meeting agenda item. Jim?
I was going to talk about budget. I mean, is that something on the agenda of your budget?
Yes, sir. Budget is right before executive session.
Okay. Let me just wait till that.
Okay.
Till the end.
Great.
It's fine.
Great. Okay. Tim, did you happen to have the minutes from the prior meeting?
Not the short meeting that we had before.
Okay.
I apologize that I don't have those, that I had taken those by hand at the time and then didn't
okay.
Type them up because it was just an abbreviated meeting for us.
No problem. No problem. Okay. We don't need to review those then. The next up is I have two reports on the agenda. The first is from Ron Houseman. Second is from Joan Chowning. As you know, we've started to move along the path of sort of dividing the projects according to the stimulus plan that we've been pursuing this year. For one thing, and certainly can discuss that at length in exec session. The second point I'd like to make is the reports were submitted to the board prior to the meeting, so I'm sure this follows suit with that. But I personally didn't have time to review those in detail. So, the purpose of this, very simply, is we received the reviews of the action plans from each person prior to the board meeting. Then we review them, so we're not trying to dwell on the action plans in exhaustive detail, but. As I'm stepping down, certainly the board can take a different direction with that. So, Ron, if you wouldn't mind going over your monthly update for us.
Today's agenda calls for me to provide an update regarding the OED action plan. And for Joan to provide an update regarding economic development general business within the county. Those actually were our job descriptions and mandates early on when the County Commission first approved the additional funding to jumpstart the OED and to pursue the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act dollars. The thinking was that Joan and I would pursue stimulus funding opportunities and traditional economic development business at the same time. However, pursuing stimulus funding became the top priority of OED. And quickly, Joan and I were both consumed with development of projects, interviewing grants writers and engineering companies, collating project information, spending countless hours on the internet, attending meetings, watching webinars, continuously fielding questions from project managers and a host of other related functions. Then began the announcements of allocations of funding through various agencies for monies that would become available. Some of these funding possibilities have been by formula, some have been competitive. All have been rushed, and all have been time-consuming. The opportunities available through formula require actions by the County Commission. So, not only must we pursue project managers to get their ducks in a row, we also must pursue the Commission to approve necessary ordinances or documents as required by various state departments, coordinate all necessary actions, and submit all required paperwork within the limited amount of time allotted. The opportunities available through competitive grant applications require a different set of priorities and involved parties, including determining whether projects meet the criteria set forth for funding, notification of project managers, coordinating and pursuing project managers to meet state and federal deadlines, the utilization of grant writers, and, again, submitting all required paperwork within the limited amount of time allotted. Following the first allocation notifications, the applications for formula funding and the writing and submittal of grants applications, we then assumed the added responsibility of lobbying those in Jefferson City and our congressional delegation when appropriate in pursuing a favorable outcome for our submitted projects. Regarding our existing projects, we have a number of projects in the submitted application stage. Some, such as the recovery zone bond submittals, should be automatic and therefore successful. Others, such as our supplemental disaster CDBG opportunities, are of competitive nature and are being evaluated along with dozens of other projects submitted from across the state. We should have notification regarding whether or not we are invited to the next step in this process within the next 3 to 4 weeks. The $500,000 appropriation attempt submitted earlier this year through Congressman Blunt for our Class A biosolids project unfortunately did not make it out of committee. Regarding the appropriations process, we have a grant writer with great connections that will be pursuing a member of our congressional delegation for a $5 million appropriation for the Class A biosolids project during the upcoming appropriation cycle. Obviously, we must convince the member of Congress, the Appropriations Committee, and the Senate and the House that our project is not only worthy, but that it should be funded. I have I've chatted with appropriate federal lobbyists who will help steer us through that process. These are staff people that I've known for over 20 years. We are also currently working on our contacts in Jefferson City in hopes of attaining a vote of support from the Clean Water Commission and the Department of Natural Resources. Remember, the Clean Water Commission has voted unfavorably on the project twice in the past, which literally killed the attempts to attain funding on this same project. Without support of the Missouri Clean Water Commission, our congressional member is not likely to move forward in D.C. with federal legislation. As we are successful in placing more and more projects for consideration within the various departments in Jefferson City, the need for personal presence will continue to grow. It is my personal belief that the chaotic allocation process of funding opportunities will slow during the first quarter of next year. The process will then stretch out for a few more months and probably end during the third quarter of the year. Once the final allocation notices are posted, and once we have made all applications for funds where our projects meet necessary criteria, the responsibilities within the office of OED should change dramatically, simply because there will be no additional stimulus funds to pursue. The change in stimulus funding availability doesn't mean that the OED in Taney County should cease to pursue grant dollars. Quite the contrary. I believe Taney County should actively pursue available funds either through a full-time grant writer on staff or working with multiple grant writers compensated on an hourly basis. Taney County will also need to comply with all reporting requirements as set forth for those receiving stimulus funds, and the county will need to monitor all existing and future grants acquired from other sources to ensure compliance with statutory and promulgated obligations. Noncompliance could result in a forfeiture of funds already received and anticipated future funds. I should mention that the Commission is already looking to OED to potentially serve as a repository for all grants and as a reporting venue. I believe that during the first or second quarter of 2010, the IDA Board should consider reevaluation of the OED and consider the pursuit of an experienced economic development director who is well-versed in the traditional role of economic development within a community. I would encourage each of you to let our commissioners know how vitally important economic development is to the well-being of our county, and that it is the one area within county government where revenues can be stimulated without tax increases. Finally, last month, Joan and I were asked to independently select projects in order that the IDA board could designate which of us would serve as point person for each of the 167 projects. We have completed that task. I really don't know what projects Joan has submitted, as we were asked to submit them separately. And I honestly don't have any druthers whatsoever regarding which projects I will serve as point person. I would recommend, however, that a city or an entity that has 7 or 8 projects be given one person to serve as a point person and contact for all their projects. Otherwise, it becomes complicated and really unprofessional. I also strongly feel that even though each project will now have a point person, we must continue working together on all of the projects, utilizing each of our strengths, not get caught up in competition or project favoritism, because I truly believe that that will undermine all the efforts that we have undertaken and all the gains that we have made to this point. Now, I have a listing of projects as I divided them. I know that that went out through the chair to all of you. And we'll be delighted to discuss any of the projects personally if you like, but since you had received that update, I thought best to address other issues at this time.
Yeah. Any questions from the board on the monthly report? You want any drill down on the monthly activities?
I guess the only thing that I'd be curious about is either from everybody in here as well as the board, is one of the things that Ron mentioned in the report was the incubator. To me, first of this month, the Branson Chamber had their community and economic development meeting. Debbie Woodford made mention in her report from Hollister that 73% of the children going to Hollister are on free or reduced lunches. So as a member of this board, I would like don't know if we need to make motions on some of these projects, but to me, the incubator or something that has to do with economic development, because who knows what's going to happen whenever the winter layoff hits as to what that number could grow to where with the time, I think you said 55% grant money is available out there from...
Through DED right now, 55% grant money for...
Where, you know, that to me is something that we maybe need to start pursuing because it takes time to get those things going. So, I don't know, like some of these projects, like your statement alluded to, you know, what do we want to take priorities on, what do we want you to do? To me, that would be one thing, I think, as far as the IDA board needs to look at, because that can be, you know, quite a success. I think Jerry's been familiar with some of it up in the St. Louis area on what they can do, so.
Yeah, they've extended, there's a small business incubator up there, and they've extended an invitation for us to come and take a look at it if we'd like, and they can talk to us about how they fund it.
You know, I don't know, Cy, if the 55% grant dollars are going to be in place for an extended period of time, but they're certainly there now.
Oh. You know, if you get a half going, then we can figure out what other kind of revenue streams that may be available to us down the road.
I think theirs is actually funded by the SBA, who basically has a portion of their loan proceeds go to funding that thing somehow.
So I've understood you to say that what you'd like to do is discuss with the board if that making the granting of an incubator project or matching or co-funding part of the one on the project list.
Yes.
And then it gets assigned if we're splitting the projects. That's am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure if it's a motion or just something that we need to discuss. That I'd like to move forward on that before the funds expire or they get utilized by other folks in other areas.
Jim's got a question.
Is it a current project on the list? Either active, inactive, or?
No.
No. That's what I was going to bring up in executive session. I'm glad you did, though.
I'm just curious if it was there.
Yeah, no, it's not a current project. That's why I was bringing it up, because it would seem to. Because I agree with you, Cy. It's a viable, it's a worthy thing, and it's a good idea, and especially when there's grant money, this is a better opportunity than ever if there's matching funds, because that's better than us trying to do it. On the other hand, I think we have to decide the direction of the split, and are we in agreement on how the workflow is happening or the project flow, and then add that, because I think that. But I'm glad you brought that up. So let's touch on that again, though. Did anyone have any questions for Ron in terms of the monthly action report?
Why doesn't the Clean Water Commission like this project? Do we have any idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Never mind. I
remember.
We are from an area that has received a great deal, and some that were involved in the previous commission thought that this area had already been granted too much. And so they utilized that to deny our opportunity to receive more.
Yeah.
And that's what I remembered.
Yeah, that's what I was told, but you know, it was in the context of discussing the action plan.
The makeup of the commission is different, and there are a couple of new commission members. And one I've known for a very, very long time. He was a state rep, then a member of the State Tax Commission. He has all of our project in hand, is reading through it, is very well versed in that particular area, and I believe he will be our champion.
Who's that?
Sam Leek.
From Modonia.
The purpose of the monthly action report is to introduce a little bit a more level communication framework so that the board is getting a clear picture from both of the Office of Economic Development's full-time staffers And then, as the board knows, we've had quite a bit of discussion about the action plans in the prior months, and sort of formulating the best way to manage the workflow, both with and for and between the two personnel. But I'd like to remind the board and to ask it in the form of a question for Ron. The purpose of the certainly the monthly board meeting, and I appreciate you sending us the action plan update prior to the meeting. What would you say are the five most significant things from the prior? The idea being that we're getting highlights of the action plan that you felt were the most relevant. And because we've all had the opportunity to read the action plan as far as the updates from the prior month. In other words, we got the report last week, but what would you say, in my mind, as from a management standpoint, the purpose of the discussion in the board meeting is to for you to additionally highlight the most relevant aspects of the prior month.
What happens on any given month is after an allocation letting has been given, then we work feverishly to meet all the deadlines and ensure that those applications are in place, whether they're coming through a political subdivision or any type of entity, or in fact whether it was monies that are allocated because or through a formula. Each has a step that you have to take, and once that workload has furiously been done, then you're really working on your prior projects, or you're making your contacts, me specifically, in Jefferson City. To promote those projects that are already there, and also waiting for the next allocation of funding in one area that might be that falls. Recently in parks, and we received notice, I think it was Saturday, from Barb Bowley, and then I sent those notifications out this morning to the three entities that fit the bill according to her thinking and her studying of the different projects that we have. And so they're currently beginning back with me about what to do, what to proceed. Do they need a grants writer? Can they write it themselves? Can they move forward without having any assistance? Should we be of assistance to them? So each month changes a little based upon what allocations have been forthcoming from the state or not coming from the state or individual departments. So we receive a notification that X amount, for example, probably 3 weeks ago, we were notified that there would be money for rental affordable housing through the Disaster Supplemental CDBG program. And a number of developers were at the housing summit who made mention that they would be in contact with us, although as to this point they have not, to pursue those particular opportunities. Now, I mean, I can go back through the course of several months and say, this is the project and the letting of allocations that we're working on. But once you've reached that point where you've gone through the application process and they're actually sitting in Jefferson City in a department, whether it be the Department of Economic Development or another, awaiting notification to us of the next step. Well, your preliminary application was approved. Now you move on to the next step in the full application. So we're in a holding pattern for a number of those projects that we've been working on since day one.
Yeah, the nature of the question was a little different. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. And my own analysis of the stimulus funding and things have been moving a little differently than I think we all anticipated at the front of the year. On the other hand, I think that's the same thing for the federal government as well. So it's not like we're behind schedule. In many cases, we're ahead of schedule. But the question was different than the answer. The question was, what did you feel were the top five most significant projects that you worked on in the prior month and why that was significant as a highlight?
The disaster supplemental funding, DED, the projects that we worked on with the county commission. The county commission approved five of those projects.
And I want to, and I have, it's kind of a loaded question with all due respect, and I want you to highlight again for everyone's reference in the room the dollar value that we've attached to these as well. I mean, you know, ballpark it.
Well,
I know it's in the report.
Okay, I did not include the value of what the five were that the county approved in this report. I may have been the previous, but
yeah, that's what I was remembering. But I could go back.
There were three projects for Road and Bridge.
Right.
There was one project for the Bradleyville Rural Fire Department, which was a $25,000 project.
Right.
And there was a $600,000 project for the developmentally, it's not the developmentally disabled any longer, it's the developmental connections.
Right.
And the three Road and Bridge projects mm-hmm. were in the neighborhood, maybe of $100,000 each. I could pull that from information I have.
Part of the question is a balloon there, but I mean, the question was the movement that you were working on was these are the projects you had to spend the most time on, and just as a reminder to the board, this is the approximate value of the project as stated in the project list, and there, that's where I was going with that. But is everyone comfortable with the discussion as far as that goes? That's where I was going with that. Okay. Yeah, so go ahead, and then we'll wrap so we can move on to Joe.
Maybe just as a adder to your question, what do you think the percentage is of getting that? Because while he's going through and analyzing that, I'll give you a little real-world scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Last week while I was out and about, I was at a Carhartt store mm-hmm. down in St. Louis. And there was some guys standing in there. This is on a Friday morning. And there was some guys that probably could have been working. Their topic of conversation was the programs that we're talking about trickling down to people like Fred Weber and Alberisi and the big companies. And these guys that maybe have their own companies that are out doing construction work are saying the trickle-down effect will never touch them.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
So it's kind of like,
yep.
You know, what's our chances of getting some of that down here in Tane County?
That's a good question. I think having as many projects as we do, we're certainly having a success rate by the fact that we've got a broader mandate. But, yeah, I think that everyone's questioning that at this point, and which doesn't mean that there's no dollars. It just means it's flowing differently than the initial anticipation of it. And the same thing at the federal level. I don't think they had a plan, and that's a problem. But that doesn't mean that, you know, pursuing the funds is an invalid endeavor, and that's not what you're saying.
Boys Camp Road, $750,000. Bull Creek, Round Mountain Road, $1,200,000. I believe the third was Clevenger Cove Road at $750,000, mm-hmm. and then the other two that I'd already previously mentioned.
And the road projects, those are.
Yeah.
Those are co-funding projects, or what's the thought there? Okay.
We're applying for
There's
funds, and the county has also agreed to match.
Yeah, it's a matching funds program. Okay, so. Of the 750, or of each of those projects, is that half and half, or how does that work?
It's 750 here, and I think it's 750 from the county.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good. I think that's a good return on your investment. Double your money.
For road we commit.
Yeah. That's just a comment in general.
All right,
I just think that's a good investment if you double your money. That's all I was saying.
It's a good investment. We didn't.
Okay.
That wasn't
like a poke at anyone. I just
no. We didn't. I,
that's
money,
a good. It sounds like a good investment. You guys lighten up.
All right, okay.
Man.
All right, over here.
Good grief! I ask him, what do you think about doubling your money? I have no comment at this time. All right. Okay, we'll move on. I'm sorry, guys. Just teasing you there. Okay. Any other questions from the board? Okay, on Ron's list, which I got into, but okay, guys, Joan, you ready?
Yep.
Thanks, Ron.
You have received the report via email from Ken electronically. I use this report also as a template for myself. I use it as a way to gauge my progress, and I use it for checking off stuff. It just keeps me going on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So you saw some notes in there. Joan, remember to do this. I don't make a special report different for you than I do for me. I use it to check off things. I have highlighted the projects that I have found most exhilarating and most demanding. And the first is the group of the CDBG Supplemental Disaster Funding. appreciated the opportunity in August to present to the commission. And the five projects, my numbers were a little bit different on that. So, but I have Bull Creek, 25,000, Developmental Connections, 600,000, Bull Creek Round Mountain Road, 1,076,800 with a 50% cost share from the county. Boys Camp Road, 250,000 with a 50% cost share from the county, and Clevenger Cove with a $250,000 with a 50% cost share from the county. This was a very harried process. Barbara called. I was grateful the commission was very open to hearing and listening, and I enjoyed making that presentation to the commission, and I wanted to thank the commission again for working so cohesively on that project.
Rewind there 30 seconds.
Yep.
So what you're saying is we are pursuing this matching funding.
Correct.
And we're pursuing it under the guise of Office of Economic Development stimulus money.
Correct.
Funding, right?
Community Development Block Grant Disaster Supplemental Funding.
Disaster Supplemental Funding, right. So it's Recovery Act funding.
Yes.
If it's Disaster Supplemental Funding, it's Recovery Act funding.
That is my understanding.
Okay. Well, we wouldn't be pursuing that if we didn't have this office, would we?
No.
That's great.
Well said, Ken. Last week, because I had not heard anything, and Barb thought, when I say Barb, I'm referring to Grant Writer Bowley, thought we would hear in October regarding this, I called the Department of Economic Development and spoke to a lady and chatted a bit with her at length, Liz Roberts. She oversees this CDBG process. And here's the skinny. Here's the bottom line. They've received 241 proposals requesting a total of $231 million. They have $80 million to award. The ratings are nearly complete. DED hopes by mid-November to have the decision made regarding which projects will receive an affirmative nod for submitting a complete application. She said there could always be stumbling blocks, like there's some problem with a contract with HUD. But she said, if you haven't heard from me by mid-November, Joan, call me and let me know. So we should know by mid-November if any of our five projects have received the nod for submitting a complete application. This was exciting to me and exhilarating and harried, and I wouldn't want to go through it all the time. But stimulus funding does have that bit of that nature to it. Secondly, biosolids. Had the pleasure in May, I believe Jim and Ron were in Jefferson City then. I brought the principals together, Rick Ziegenfuss, Larry Van Gilder, Mike Zimmerman of HDR Archer, Barb Bowley, and myself. We had a phone conference for over an hour, an excellent phone conference. And we decided to look carefully at seeking an earmark, a special appropriation from a legislator. Since then, we have had three more phone conferences, and we'll have an upcoming one this week. I think it's been important with regard to this project, and we've, as a county, continued to point this out to the principals involved. They birthed this project. They brought it into being. We, as a county, are pleased and just to be a part of the team that is pursuing funding for this project. We are taking the lead on this insofar as grant writing. And Commissioner Strafus was also very helpful in this process in talking to the principals. Barbara Bowley came from Florida for our last meeting. We have our next meeting this Wednesday, and we will look specifically at the amount we will be requesting. And I know Ron is going to bring us more information regarding the Clean Water Commission, the makeup of that commission, the tenure of those people, because as a group of partners, we can also be involved in supporting this outside Taney County. We can be involved in lobbying for this too. Commissioner Strafus secured a very important meeting in Jeff City and has followed through on that, and very pleased about that, and I'm sure he'll choose to share that at the right time. This morning I received a call of a very important contact that we could have for pushing this project forward that was told to me in privacy, and I will respect that and keep it there. The next project that I think is the recovery zone bonds. We submitted our original letter of intent to accept our allocations for the private facility bonds and the economic development bonds. Since then, Ron was looking on the web and he said, there's a reallocation here. And we
began. Which they didn't tell us about.
No. We would assume that since we were in the pot, that we would be notified that there was going to be a reallocation. That was not the case. At the housing summit, I purposely asked the interim head of DED in an open session about this because we could not get any direction on this. We couldn't sense what was going on. And she said, you do not need to do anything. Your letter of intent was submitted. You've done all as a county that you need to do. That was on a Thursday. On a Monday, I received an email saying that is not correct. And we all make mistakes, but that was a very important bit of information for us, and we had 2 days left to do something in. Chairman Klein stepped up, went like crazy. I began looking for projects, and we came up with some excellent projects, and they were submitted by the Wednesday deadline. Rhonda Anderson, the lady at DED who oversees this part of who oversees recovery zone bonds, made a note in our file because I said we'll have some supplemental information coming, and she said that will be fine. And so we have submitted letters of support. Rick Ziegenfuss in particular has submitted letters of support. Carson Eliff was key in this also. Without him, I don't think this would have happened because he stood by me every step of the way, and literally Max Lytle and Carson and I were on the phone filling out the application, and separate from that, Rick Ziegenfuss and Carson and I were on the phone filling out the applications. Carson was very much in our corner and a champion for us in this cause.
That took a lot of work, guys.
And you're not being paid for it.
Brutal. That was brutal. And it wasn't our fault, but it was brutal. But I think we did something where a lot of counties, you know, we learned that a lot of counties didn't even submit anything because of the closeness of the deadline and the seeming complexity of the project in terms of getting it, because there's no one to talk to there that can give you strong guidance. And then, as Joan pointed out right at the housing conference, because you called me straight up, and we were given the opposite advice as what we'd been told, and we'd acted upon. It made it very difficult. But we were able to submit several projects, and that's why we had the special board meeting and then had the inducement resolutions. The reason we did that, guys, was Carson Eliff, as our bonding counsel, who I just sort of appointed for that because we were just moving so fast. And he's done prior bond deals with us, that he strongly advocated that the board meet as soon as possible and pass the inducement resolutions so that it was following right in after the application process. But we went from having nothing and a ridiculous deadline to four projects, one of which is awesome, that project that the Developmental Connections is doing. And so if there's anything that comes out of that, I'm telling you what, that'd be a coup. But I gotta say, guys, it's the darndest thing on these projects. They come at you, and they're complicated, and nobody's real clear on the deadlines and stuff. And then the deadline's a week later, and you got to pull together all the paperwork and everything else. It's really strange. So I applaud the work that the OED did on that. And then, you know, I wish Carson was here, but I told him I really appreciated his efforts in that regard. And it seems to be that the you know, I knew a guy that died a couple of weeks ago, but he died pretty wealthy. He was a McDonald's franchisee. He had several dozen by the time he died. And he said, the harder I work, the luckier I seem to be. And that's kind of how I feel like these projects were.
Yeah, they did have that feel. What was also interesting is Rhonda Anderson is the one person at DED who is equipped to discuss recovery zone bonds.
Right.
And on one. That, yes. And she was home that day with her son who was ill. Yeah. And so I asked a lady there, I said, how sick is her son? And she said, oh, he's just got a cold. And I said, do you think Rhonda would please call me? And so they contacted her, and she called me twice that day because she's the only person we could talk to. And we had till Wednesday to get this done. So yay for Rhonda Anderson.
She was the employee that was correct from the beginning, too, that, in fact, we could.
Yeah, we could look for additional funding. And there's more funding coming, in my opinion.
There is another reallocation coming in March, but Rhonda told me, she said, don't count on that date for sure. And I said, believe me, we'll be ready.
Because it could be Tuesday.
Yes.
We're not sure yet.
You know, with that, Joan, you know, I've thought a lot about that since we had that fire drill. Should we not be communicating back to our municipalities as well as to our people that have submitted to us for assistance with funding, that the one thing we're running into, whether it's federal stimulus money or this through the DEB as well, is that they come at us at odd angles, and it's always a fire drill to get it done, but the one thing that they need to be bringing to us is, are you shovel ready?
Absolutely.
And on the building projects, that's huge.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be getting that word out to them, whether it's March of next year or beyond stimulus monies. The one thing with any of the grants or any of that that I've seen so far as a constant for a building project or anything to look forward to is that they need to be having their architect work and their engineering work already done.
Yeah.
Just for a regular submission, even preliminarily.
I think you're quite correct, and even additionally, this is probably a good opportunity for a press release for us making making Taney Countyans aware that these facility zone bonds exist, and that there are opportunities there for them, and more information about that. And also, Rhonda Anderson called me this week, past week, and she inquired more about the Tantone project. I said, oh, Rhonda, we think that's a fabulous project, and that information will be to you in 1 hour. And we had it back to her.
And I just as a follow-up, Tim is absolutely correct, guys. And I know in the press and everything, it's been bandied around, shovel-ready. But the application that Tantone submitted, they were working, Max Lytle in that group, they were working closely with Carson Eliff at our request. And then they submitted a great application, and then they had great supporting documentation, including the shovel-ready architecture. And that's what's so important about that, because it was very clear that that project was a ready-to-go, clean
Absolutely.
Project. And I think that showed, you guys didn't see the apps and everything like I did all flying around like a wild bat, but that app was really well done, and I think that's, if there's some way to bottle what you're saying there, because you're right. And we need to make sure that the OED, whenever you guys are talking to people about projects, we can't take a pile of 8 ingredients and make a birthday cake here. I mean, they need to be bringing us, you know, something a little bit better than a half thought through deal, pipe dream. And that wasn't. But for funding, this project's ready to go. And I honestly believe that's what they're looking for, is but for funding projects. Because that gets construction boots on the ground and things happening right now. You're not hoping it happens and then work with your architecture for a year or 6 months. So anyway.
It also helps them because they know the project's going to fly if all the preliminary work has already been done.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. Excellent point there. And then following up on our discussion earlier, Jan, the whole deal here, just for your information, it's a trifecta here because you have an active board. You have an Office of Economic Development pushing the envelope on granting via stimulus, and you have a bond deal. Because these are basically. So it's what you want to look for, and it's great. It means you're intersecting opportunity with work, and that's what you need to be doing. So yeah, that took a lot of time, didn't it, Jones?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy.
Well, the good news for the county, though, too, in that is a county tax-driven board.
Yes.
Which, if that's given the allocations, that just puts more towards Taney County.
As opposed to
disabled instead of just using our tax dollars.
Right, right.
So it's, again, down the trifecta, actually. It's giving you more than that.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. I thought that's a great project. I like that project.
I liked it, too, but I think it's not one we want to go through all that often in that time frame.
Yeah. And the other thing, though, guys, and I don't want to pound the table here, but honestly, it's one of those deals where if somebody's on deck and watching, this deal flow happens. If you think deal flow is going to happen when you're not on deck, that's just a joke. So this would, these projects would not have happened if we weren't able to have to turn them around that quickly. They literally wouldn't. I, as an IDA board chairman, I couldn't drop everything for a week, go find everybody, have them fill out apps, do all this stuff. That's ridiculous. I spent a full 2 days on it as it was, which doesn't make me any like giant of public service. But the point is that that was the tip of the iceberg on the workload between Tim and Max Lytle and Carson Elliff and Joan. And I mean, we're talking about it in very staid terms here, guys. I mean, I'm just telling you, a lot of people rolled up their sleeves to get these apps in and make the county look good. And you know, and I agree. That's worthy of further discussion whenever time allows.
I'll mention a final project here. Energy money is coming into the county, coming into the state. $12 million has recently come to the state through DNR, Department of Natural Resources. There will be a separate federal funding will come to also, but we don't know when that will be. The $12 million is not a lot of money in the state, but we have projects. I got online and tried to find the application and spent 20 minutes looking for it and could not find it. So I just got on the phone and called David Harrison, who is an energy expert with DNR. And he said, well, the reason you can't find it is because it's not there. And he also attested that this scenario is pretty trying for him. So they have the release of the press release and no application online. What is going to happen is there will be 6 meetings held across the state, and DNR will issue a paper that defines the priority projects, and then an application form will be available by mid-November. And the first session is this Wednesday in Springfield, and I will attend that session in Springfield and maybe have the opportunity to talk about Taney County and our need. For example, energy updates for the courthouse. Very clear that lighting, windows, roof, would be key for us. And if we can, he said if enough counties are interested in energy updates, then we'll look at those projects. So I said, at this point, you're not positive which projects you're going to look at. And he said, that's correct. I said, how does that strike you? He said, well, I don't feel real good about it at this point.
I don't know. It's squeaky wheels there, though.
That is true.
Why wouldn't you say so? When you get up there.
Yeah, they're worried about E. coli right now.
Problem of the week.
And David Harrison will be at this meeting. In fact, he said, Joan, I'll meet you at the meeting on Wednesday, and we'll talk more, and I look forward to that also. And Barb Bobley is sending a representative, so she will be there also, and we'll
That's
have
great.
Some county attendance there. Those are the main projects that have been exhilarating and very demanding of time for me in the past month. As you could perhaps reading my report, there were many, many other projects that I've been, to the best of my ability, trying to push forward. I'm going to switch gears here. I don't believe in providing handouts unless they're highly worthy of receiving attention. And I have 3 handouts for you, and I've got them clipped together, and I'm going to give them to you. The first handout is from the Springfield Business Journal, and it is MSU gets $2.75 million grant for Business Center. This is for an incubator, and Alan Kunkel's picture is here. And I think you'll enjoy reading this brief article, but it talks about the incubator that they are going to establish in Springfield. The second handout is Mount Vernon, an enhanced enterprise zone, gains momentum. As you may remember, when I was in this office before several years ago, Alan Kunkel was a key mentor for me and a key for the IDA board. We went so far as to demographically check out 2 different areas. One was Taneyville and one was Kirbyville, and demographically they were eligible to be an enhanced enterprise zone. I had gone so far as to call a meeting of the school superintendents, and then one of the commissioners had said that there were a lot of negotiations going on then regarding the East-West Corridor, and would we please hold up, so I, at that point, stood still on that project. But Mount Vernon has said, EEZs are becoming a boilerplate economic development tool. Commissioners said they aren't attempting to recruit specific companies, but rather to lay the competitive groundwork for future recruitment efforts. I think you'll enjoy this brief but to-the-point article. I think it's worthy of your time.
And just as a sideline on that,
I don't know if they're still going to have it because of the invitees, but the lady that's in charge of that was going to come next Tuesday to the Branson Chamber to talk to folks about that project. Because as of now, since Taney County is a disaster area,
yes,
you can have the whole county as an EPC now.
Oh, really?
That's an interesting wrinkle.
So what you
that
may,
helps a lot.
So yeah. What you may want to do is get a hold of Bethany Thomas over there.
Damn.
The Branson Chamber.
That's a big deal.
So that we can, because Jeff Seifert, who took Alan's place, is kind of coordinating
that. I would say, Joan, that at this point, with the new board members and some water under the bridge, that are just a refresher, not right now, but in another meeting on EEZs would be really appropriate.
And the good thing about it is we had a little pre-meeting on it, and some of the superintendent, or Branson superintendent,
right,
and one of the
had that one off at the pass.
There, and they like it a whole lot better than TIF. I think, Chuck, were you there? Were you there that day that we talked about that or something? But it was...
Yeah, back in the...
Very well received.
Oh, that's great.
Was
that's,
it
that's good.
From the Branson School District?
That's great.
Dr. Swalford was there, and then it got back to Dr. Hyder, and then Mike Booth, he still is president, but was.
He said,
I can live with these much better than TIFs.
Right. That's good news.
So.
The third handout I have for you is from the Economic Outlook Conference in Springfield, October 14th. Springfield brought in J. Mack Holliday and his firm to conduct a market analysis. This is the best economic development presentation I've ever attended, and I've attended a bunch of them, and some of them have been really poor, and some of them have been mediocre, and this one was superlative. He was inspiring, he spoke with substance. I have attached for you a synopsis of this. And bear in mind, he was addressing the Springfield Chamber members and Springfield business people, and he pointed out very clearly what the weaknesses were. And one of them was a lack of vision for the city government. He talked about the culture of the poor, our wages. But it's in this brief synopsis. If you wish to see it, read it in its entirety. It is on the Springfield web under economic development, and it's 126 pages, and believe me, it is power-packed. He's one of the most inspiring and substantive speakers I've ever heard. And as I was leaving, Rayanne was in the back of the room, and she said, Joan, we need to talk, don't we? And I said, I'm agreeable. So, of course, it's nice to work with Branson and that they want to work with our county. But it was good that she was there and heard this. And I think you will find this synopsis very, very telling. Those are the three handouts I have. I have very little more to say. Today had the pleasure of arranging and attending a press conference at Victorian Heart. This was not Ken's idea at all. It's a well-deserved kudos to him for his performance here. The press, they were pleased that I had contacted them, and they were delighted to have this opportunity to learn more about the IDA and learn more about Ken's tenure as chairman and on the IDA. There's a sentence that comes to my mind, good is the enemy of great. And I repeat that, good is the enemy of great. This is the first sentence from a book that was given to me by someone for whom I have high regard. In this position, it's my hope and my desire to bring excellence to this position. I believe the IDA has the capability to be a catalyst for significant change and enhancement in the arena of economic development in Taney County. And when I think good is the enemy of great, I'm particularly thinking of Ken.
Am I the good or the enemy?
No, you're the great.
Or am I good at being the enemy?
A few years ago when I was in this position and Cy was at the helm and we were addressing some of the opportunities that came our way, we asked Ken for help and he was always willing and always gave his time. And now as chairman, as we know, he's given his time, his expertise, his eloquence as a speaker, his keen intellect. He's even donated his facility. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you. And sometimes we're told don't read between the lines, but can read between the lines.
Oh, thank you
so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And that's my report.
Great.
And
you.
Here are the handouts.
I do have one question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I appreciate both your reports, and I read your reports when I received them and took them home, printed them off, and I think that's time well spent, so we don't have to waste time here during the day, so I think that's a good idea. I know you have 167 projects on the table. Any of those projects, and we've heard today some of those that have, it's what sounds to be good prospects and county matching funds for some of those. White River Valley Historical Society, some of the private projects that are not tied with political entities, are we hearing any possibility that the hopes of some of those organizations are going to receive any funds to further their cause?
One particular project, Bonnie Brook Project Number 2, I've been working with Roxanne Young, and we had looked at possibilities, and there just weren't any available at the time. They did apply to White River Valley Electric for their, I believe, Roundup program, but right now, as is appropriate, White River Valley Electric is looking more at individuals than at organizations because we have so many individuals in need.
All right, I didn't report, Joan. Thank you. Now, what I'm referring to is White River Valley Historical Society has had more than one plan, and I was a part of the last plan just to be there to observe at Drury University. And in the beginning, they had a plan to tie the historic jail with a new facility. My question is there any hope that White River Valley Historical Society or any of the public libraries, Rockaway Beach, some of those people that met at the very first meetings, pardon me, please hold. Is there any hope that we're going to get any funds for those specific groups?
There were a group of library grants that just came out about a week ago, and I sent the information about those grants to six organizations and resent it again 4 days later to those six organizations. I cannot at this time give you all the specifics of those grants. I can't say that the projects that we received were directly correlating to what was being offered, but there are library grant funds out there, speaking of libraries. And with regard to the rest,
It seems like that the dollars that have been forthcoming through the first allocations have been for water quality, sewer, for transportation, for refurbishing or building of public structures. And it is our hope and the hope of many nonprofits across the state, not just in this county, that there's going to be allocations which will meet those needs. As yet, Becky, they have not been forthcoming. We have them all on tap. We stay in contact with our people. Believe me, they've been calling us. And we will pursue it just as soon as one of those allocations comes available.
And there are foundations also.
Yeah. Well, in everything I've read, as far as the stimulus set up and the way the legislation's written and the general tenor of the thing is they're much more concerned with public works and other things like the fire departments and this type of thing as a way to get things rolling than they are with things like that. That's the sense I get of it. So.
This is a key time to have sewer projects in the mill.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And to follow up on, I'm shovel ready. There are so many political subdivisions out there that are not shovel ready.
Yeah.
So for those counties or those cities that have the opportunities to have that preliminary engineering done, just makes it so much easier. You couldn't have done what you did had not the groundwork been laid just with the developmental connections, for example. And even though there was a tremendous amount of work, had they not had what you needed, wouldn't have moved forward.
No, I agree with that. Well, guys, we've got two more things on the agenda, budget and exec session. And so I think in the interest of time and honoring everyone's time, I do think we need to move on that.
Thanks for your report.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Now, I put budget on the agenda.
Is it still open?
Yeah.
Okay.
The budget?
Bill, it's open session.
We're not an exec session.
Okay.
But I just put that on there to point out that you know, I don't really have a feel for where we're going on that, and I apologize. It's been an interesting round of discussions, so.
The budget?
Yeah. And so that's the only reason I put it on the agenda is to say that.
So do we need to move to executive session then?
Because yeah.
I think that we have a couple commissioners that are.
Yeah, that's a good call. And do I hear a motion to move into executive session?
So moved. I suggest maybe we wait until Megan gets back.
Okay, she might.
We don't have a quorum, do we?
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
We have a quorum. Yeah, we're okay. Yeah. So I second the motion. Okay.
I agree with his motion.
Yeah. Well, they're all leaving now. We're going to vote.
I waited as long
as you guys.
Sorry, they
vote recess.
They got up and left.
The disaster, speaking of disasters. The disaster people at FEMA in Washington are reviewing